Have you ever blown your testimony by a hasty, unkind action? This is the Christian Working Woman with Mary Lohman, and I'm Julie Bastide. Today, Mary's going to address that situation along with others. Mary, these are actual questions that have been posed to you by our listeners, is that right?
That's right, Julie. Today I'm just kind of opening Mary's mailbox, and I'm going to share six different questions that I've received. I am quite certain that there are many others who've been in similar situations. I just thought it would be helpful to share my thoughts and, more importantly, what the Bible has to say in these rather awkward situations.
I'm sure you're right. I think we've all experienced a time when we feel like we've just messed up so badly that we can't recover, and we just really want to run away from it all.
Oh, I can think of quite a few times when I've felt like that.
Well, we're eager for your encouragement and help in these situations.
Well, as Julie noted, this first question is something most, if not all of us, can relate to. A listener said, I made a fool out of myself yesterday in front of a man that I've been witnessing to at work. I know I've blown it, and I just want to run away. What do I do? I know how they feel, don't you? We've all been in that place where we wished the earth would swallow us up. But believe it or not, this failure on your part can be used by God as a witness to God's forgiveness and love. What you have to do now is to find an opportunity alone with that coworker and just apologize. Explain that you've been convicted of how poorly you acted and you've asked God to forgive you, which He has, and let that person know that you are sorry you failed, but you know God has forgiven you and you can start again. Sometimes failure can be a very effective avenue of witness. You see, that coworker fails too, but without Jesus, he has no effective way of dealing with the guilt. By owning up to your failure and at the same time sharing God's forgiveness, your coworker will see grace in action. God's grace is very attractive, and it could be the very example he needs to accept that grace for himself. Here's another question you'll no doubt relate to. I have a coworker who leads a very immoral life, and I keep trying to witness to her. However, she just makes fun of me. How do I get through to her? Well, this is what I responded. Your coworker is in need of a life-changing relationship with Jesus, and until that happens, you cannot expect her to see her need of a lifestyle change. Pray that God would help you to see beyond her immoral behavior and realize her true need. Sometimes a verbal witness is not a wise approach for some people, and that could be true for this coworker. Jesus warned us not to throw our pearls to pigs, meaning don't try to force a witness on someone who has no respect or regard for the great value of the gospel. So I would advise you to stop trying to witness verbally. Find other ways to show God's love to this woman. Do things for her that are extra mile actions. Pray much for her. She knows you don't approve of her immoral lifestyle. You don't have to point that out anymore. Make it your objective to allow God's love to come through you to her, and then leave the results up to the Lord. Remember, our job is simply to sow seeds of kindness and love. The Holy Spirit is in charge of the results. Now, the next question has probably happened to many of us. A listener wrote, during the recent election, I got into a heated argument with a coworker about abortion. I just can't believe she thinks it's okay to kill unborn babies. How do I convince her? Well, you probably will never convince her to change her views on abortion. That has to be a heart change, which really only God can effect. I often remind myself that I would be in the feminist camp if it weren't for Jesus in my life. What seems so obvious to me as Christians is foolishness to those without Christ. Paul wrote, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." In the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. It should not shock you to discover that people without God's Spirit see nothing wrong with abortion or other sins, for that matter. they are blind. And instead of being frustrated with them, we need to be compassionate and patient. Begin by sincerely praying that your coworker will come to saving faith in the Lord. That's her core problem, not her beliefs on abortion. I would back away from any further discussion on the topic. Certainly, it does not benefit anything to get into an argument with her about it. If she brings it up, admit that you have a strong difference of opinion, but don't allow yourself to be pulled into a verbal argument. Your lifestyle, your loving attitude, and the difference that she sees in the way you respond to her and others will have a far greater effect than any words you can say. Only God can change her mind. You are there to let God's love flow through you to her. The rest is God's business, not yours. Well, maybe you've been thinking about this question as well. A listener asked, how important is it to dress professionally? I have always been a casual dresser, but now I'm a manager, and I wonder if I need to dress differently. Well, dress for success is a well-known phrase, and there's definitely some truth in the fact that your dress creates an impression that affects how people think about you. If a more professional appearance will help you be more effective in your job, then it would just be smart to do that. Otherwise, you're just making your job more difficult. In 1 Timothy, we read that women should dress modestly, with decency and propriety. Our clothes should not only reflect our professionalism, but also present a good testimony for the Lord Jesus. Some fashions that may be acceptable in our society would not pass God's modesty test. We need to have strong standards about how we dress, not becoming a slave to the fashion industry, but dressing so that the name of Jesus is honored even in our appearance. You may need to upgrade your casual look a bit so that your appearance works for you, not against you, especially now that you're in management. Remember that people do judge books by their cover, and that first impression is very strong. Before you open your mouth, your appearance speaks very loudly. But remember that while the outside is important, God looks on the heart, and that's even more important. So be sure you dress the inner person each day with the garments described in Colossians 3, 12 through 14, where we read, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That is your most important wardrobe. Focus more attention to dressing the inner person than you do the outer person. Here's another interesting question. Last week, I lied to my boss when she asked me if I had finished a job. Quickly, I did what I told her I had already done, but I feel guilty because I did lie to her. Do I need to tell her? Well, the fact that you feel guilty about this is a pretty good indication that you need to come clean with your boss and tell her the truth. Some people would call this a little white lie, but lying is an abomination to God, and no lie is little or white. Jesus told us that the devil is a liar. When we lie, we are speaking his language. I would explain to her that this has been bothering you and you want to tell her the complete truth. She'll recognize that you didn't have to come clean, but you chose to do the right thing. You have a duty to tell the truth, and I would do it right away. It's interesting that in our culture, telling the truth is not nearly as important as it should be, and people accept lying as just a way of life. We hear it from leaders in every area. We become used to it. But I want you to remember that lying is never acceptable to God. It's a clear sin that we should avoid. So when you have lied to someone and you know that you shouldn't have, you need to correct it, go back, ask for forgiveness, make it right in whatever way you need to. But don't let lies become a part of your vocabulary. It will not please the Lord. And then one last question. I try to be a good worker as well as a good mom and wife, but quite frankly, I'm tired all the time, and I just don't have the energy to do everything everybody wants me to do. I feel like a failure, but I'm just so tired. Boy, do I relate to what she said, right? Trying to jump through everyone's hoops is exhausting. And no doubt you are both physically and emotionally exhausted as you have so many hats to wear as a worker, a mom, and a wife. The first thing you need to do is learn to say no. This is hard for so many of us because we think that saying no means we are just not who we should be. We're not living up to what other people expect of us. And it feels like it's wrong to say no. But you know, you must learn to draw boundaries. You cannot be all things to all people. Drawing those boundaries in your life is absolutely essential. Those boundaries need to be based on biblical priorities. And that might mean a job change or crossing some activities off of your list. Are you prone to ask or allow others to help you? Perhaps you're trying to be a superwoman. Your family should share the household chores on a regular basis. Set up a schedule and ask them to help. I find that sometimes working moms feel guilty because they're working, and so they don't ask their children to really help them. Well, that is not good for you, and it's certainly not good for the children either. Everybody needs to pitch in and help with the family chores. So that may be one reason you're so tired and exhausted, you haven't asked anyone to help you. If you're shortchanging your time with the Lord, that just amplifies your problem because you're running in your own strength, not the Lord's strength. Much of this may be self-inflicted. A final consideration is your physical condition. Are you doing the things necessary to keep your strength and energy strong? Good eating habits, regular exercise, those are all important to maintain a high energy level. Now, if your exhaustion continues, even when you take some necessary steps to avoid the superwoman syndrome, then you certainly should see your doctor to determine if there's a physical reason for the way you feel. But while it's true that we often become weary in well-doing, it is not true that God wants us to live an exhausting lifestyle. So pray about it. Ask God to give you His priorities, set some boundaries, and don't try to be all things to all people. It never works.
Thanks for sharing Mary's mailbox with us today. I'm certain many others will benefit from your straightforward biblical approach to these touchy predicaments. Well, I want to tell you about our Zoom Bible study that has just begun again on Tuesday evenings, 7 p.m. Central Time. The current study is What the Well-Dressed Christian Wears. Join women from around the country and really around the world and learn how to put on your spiritual wardrobe, as outlined in Colossians 3. To find out more information and to register, go to our website, christianworkingwoman.org. Then on Saturday, September 18th, Dr. Deb Gorton from Moody Bible Institute Graduate School will be our guest speaker for our Zoom get-together. She'll talk about how to pursue our purpose by embracing the uncomfortable. You won't want to miss it. Again, you can register and find out more information on our website at christianworkingwoman.org. Well, I'm Julie Busteed, and thanks again for being with us today, and I hope you'll join us next week for The Christian Working Woman with Mary Lohman.